Hello, and welcome to Uncluttered, the podcast that discusses the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not so much how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint that we leave the chaos and the clutter in our lives behind. I'm Angie Heitch, an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee.
And I'm Leanna George, a former professional organizer and author living in Houston, Texas. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and home so you can make room for what matters most? If so, let's dive in.
All right. So, Leanna, we are going to start in a little different way for this episode. We're going to start in the world of sports, particularly baseball.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm a big baseball fan.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So, as you know, my husband Eric is a big baseball fan. When you came to visit our loft, one of the things that we showed you was he has a pennant from all 30 major league stadiums. It's hanging in our loft. So, specifically what we're going to talk about in baseball is what might just be the most famous stolen base in history. This happened in the American League Championship Series in 2004. Do you happen to know what I'm talking about?
Probably not, because my Houston Astros were terrible at that time. And so I've only been watching baseball constantly since the last few years. So, but I've always enjoyed baseball. My brother grew up a huge Chicago Cubs fan.
Yeah.
We lived in this. But no, so you're going to have to tell me about this big thing now. I love a good story.
Okay. Okay, great. So not surprising that you didn't, I wouldn't have remembered the year necessarily, but what a lot of people might remember is the 2005 movie Fever Pitch with Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, I remember that one. Vaguely, I remember that one, but I know it has to do with, I think she's a school, or the journalist who goes back to high school. And I remember at the end, she, sorry, spoiler, but she kisses the guy on the pitcher's mound. So that's about as much though. So you're going to have to fill in the gaps for me.
Okay. So
I was going to say, I do like movies like Bull Durham, Major League, Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. Love a good sports movie, especially the baseball movie.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie Fever Pitch, one of my favorites, is based on the when the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004. It was huge. You know, Red Sox fans are probably some of the most devoted of all. And they had been just struggling with this curse of the Bambino because they hadn't won the World Series since 1918. Yeah. So that was finally broken in 2004. But the only way that happened is because of this crazy stolen base in the ALCS in 2004. So the Yankees were set to sweep the Red Sox and go into the World Series. It was looking so, so grim. And so it was ninth inning, and the Red Sox had a runner on first, two outs. And so they were one out away from just like, this is all over, and we're still cursed and terrible. But the Red Sox manager decided to do something to break the rules. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a historic decision.
Okay, so now you really got me. I mean, like, that's a super good hook, as we say in the writing world.
Yeah.
I'm hooked, and I want to hear more. So don't leave me in suspense. Don't keep me hanging.
Okay. All right. So, well, he didn't break an actual rule. It was more of an unspoken rule. So in sports and really just about in anything, you know, there are rules that are set in stone, you know, three strikes, you're out, three outs into the inning, that kind of thing. But this is one of those unwritten rules. Every sport has them. And in baseball, this particular unwritten rule is that if you're losing and there's two outs, got a runner at first, you don't send the runner because you don't want that last out to happen at second base. You want to give the hitter the opportunity to get a hit and move the runner along. Well, but in this particular game, the Red Sox broke the rule. So the manager sent the runner. It was pinch runner Dave Roberts. The manager sent him, and great throw, you know, just a photo finish, but he's, you know, he was able to steal the second base. This started a late inning rally that ended in a Red Sox victory, which was awesome. But they still had to win three games in a row to even capture the American League championship. And they did, and went on to go to the World Series and win the World Series. So probably one of the biggest comebacks in baseball history. And it all started because the manager was willing to break an unwritten rule.
Oh, wow. That's a really cool story, because you're right. I mean, one, it's kind of like our Astros this year. They had to win three games to make it to the World Series. And yes, they did, but they ended up losing. And then, yeah, I mean, that's unheard of in the baseball world, to send a runner when you've got two outs. And, right, you know, but I think I admire it, because still, it was either go big or go home, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he had no choice, when, you know, you just have to. But I love that he had the courage and the boldness to do that. And it's just a great story, something I will remember and use, hopefully, at a trivia game one night.
Yeah,
right? But here's the thing. What does this have to do with organizing?
Okay, well, I wonder how we were going to make this segue.
Yes, exactly. Please, because I'm like, I don't know how to, I don't know where she's going with this. I'm gonna be honest.
Okay. So just like every sport has rules and unwritten rules, I believe organizing has some rules, some written ones and maybe some unwritten ones. And usually it's in our best interest to follow those rules, but sometimes it's necessary to break them. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. When is it okay to break the organizing rules? So, but before we start listing the organizing rules, let's start out with scripture. We always want to start with motivation from God's word. So is there anything that comes to mind, Leanna, when you think about the Bible and breaking the rules?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Most definitely. I mean, Jesus was a rebel. Yes, and he broke the rules, you know, but he also explained why. Before we get into that, just real quick, we do want to put a quick disclaimer that Angie and I are, believe in following the rules. We don't want any, we're not going to be held liable. We don't think anything that we talk about today will cause somebody major trouble to go to jail, but we just want to make sure, that we keep things light, you know, make sure everybody understands that just going in. but yeah, let's go back to Jesus. Like I said, he was a rebel, right? And he wasn't a rebel because he was a troublemaker. He was a rebel because he was there to show people that he was the fulfillment of the law, right? Mm-hmm. And that these rules and things like that, that these Pharisees and Sadducees had been putting into place, just weren't realistic, right? These Pharisees had so many rules that they made things way more complicated than they had to, you know. And most of what they were doing was adding in their own words to scripture, right? It was not just God's law. They were adding additional things to it. And they must have had like a sick sense of humor, because they loved finding ways to catch people breaking the rules.
Oh, yeah. It was like one of those teachers that you never wanted to have, who was just like, you just felt like their whole joy was finding somebody that was messing up. And
exactly, right? And the one person that the Pharisees love to try to trap, I guess you would say, and which I think they probably spent a lot of time trying to do this, was to trap Jesus.
Yep.
You know, especially when, you know, they thought they had the upper hand. But, you know, like I said, Jesus did break the rules, you know, but he wasn't a troublemaker. He wasn't sinning. We know he was sinless, right? But he always had a good reason or explained why the rules were unnecessary. And so I think the most big idea that comes to me, or the most prominent scripture that comes to me, is when Jesus broke the rules when he and his disciples ate grain on the Sabbath. And we find the story in Matthew 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "At this time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this," I mean, clearly they're following him around looking for ways to trap him. "They said to him, 'Look, your disciple is doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.' And then, of course, I just love Jesus' response. He calmly explained why this was not a violation of the Sabbath and the laws, and reminding them that even it was, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath, right? So we see that first. And then in Matthew 12 later, we see that same issue coming up over healing on the Sabbath. And we have verses 9 through 14. It says, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Again, we've got this trap going on.
Yeah.
And he said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So the man stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as the other. But the Pharisees went out, and look what they did. They plotted how they might kill Jesus, because they knew he was right, right? Yep. So.
Yeah, and I just love Jesus' boldness in these passages. Yeah, because he knew what they were thinking. He knew their motives. He knew, you know, they're just looking for a way to trap him. And he just like, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do anyway. And no matter the consequences, these stories are particularly really, really in my mind right now after both of these scenes are featured in The Chosen, which we both love. But yeah, and he had the ultimate trump card. Hey, I'm God's son. I can do what I want. I have the authority. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like he was just like, I'm not going to listen to you. I don't like the rules you make. You know, that wasn't his MO. He was clear and understanding of who he was and what he was sent to do and what he was going to do. And he wasn't going to be ruled by these religious worldly leaders. So
I'm not going to let your rules about healing keep me from blessing this man with healing. So I just love how he did that.
All right, so now that we have an understanding of how sports and scripture go together, and we have sports and organizing go together. Y'all, chemo brain, it really does a thing. But now that we have our scripture and we have how sports and organizing go together, let's get on to the organizing part, because people are listening, they're probably thinking, when are you going to get to the point? Although I like a good story. So let's talk about the rules of organizing, whether they're written or unwritten, right? Because there is no organizing Bible. And we'll see if we can think of some situations where it might make sense or be necessary to break the rules. And I'm going to start us off with one of the cardinal rules of organizing. Everything needs a home. And if a listener isn't familiar with that, then that just means everything in a space needs a place, a specific place where it belongs. It's, you know, everyone that shares that space should know it's where that item should go. Mm-hmm. And after an item's finished being used, then it should be put back in its proper place. And then each category of items should just have one home, not multiple homes. Okay.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about when we say everything in its place.
Yeah. And I agree. This is probably the number one. If you just had to pick one rule of organizing, this would probably be the one. And as we've worked with clients over the years, we've taught this rule. We've helped clients put it into practice. We've put it into practice in our own homes. So what are some situations where it might be necessary to break this rule?
Okay. Good question to ask. And there are times when this rule simply can't be followed for one reason or another. So for example, ideally, as soon as you get back from a trip to the grocery store, you'd put everything in its home, right? You put things belong in the refrigerator in their place in the refrigerator, and things that are non-perishable into their places in the pantry or cabinets or whatever. But let's say you're in a hurry or you're just in a busy season of life, then you may not be able to go and put those groceries away immediately. I mean, obviously, you're probably going to put the perishables away because that would be a big
deal. Yeah, unless you want them to be ruined. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But for the non-perishables, leaving them on the counter or leaving them in the bags for a while until you can get to, you know, the screaming kids and the barking dog and the, you know, doorbell ringing and that kind of stuff. You know, you can leave those out temporarily. That's okay. Everything doesn't have to go in its home right away. So you're kind of breaking the rule, right? But as long as it gets done sometime soon, you're going to be okay. You just can't let it go too far, or else before you know it, the kitchen counter where you've stacked all these cans or bread loaves or pasta boxes, you know, they become full, and then it gets hard to function in that clutter, right? And people don't understand why it's important that we put everything in its place, because it makes space for other stuff. And when we don't, then that's when the problem starts to rise.
Yeah. And but there's just sometimes we try so hard to follow the rules. And if we don't do this right away, we try to get back on track immediately. And sometimes we just don't. And it can seem completely chaotic. And sometimes we can feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just a failure. I can't follow the rules. But here's when we have the perfect opportunity to put another biblical perspective into place, and that is to give yourself grace.
Yeah.
The Bible is full of passages about God's grace and how infinite it is. One of those is 2 Chronicles 39. Says, "For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him." So he gives us grace freely. And he wants us to extend that same grace to other people and to ourselves. Sometimes we've got to just give that. It's easier to extend it to other people sometimes than ourselves. This reminds me of an author and speaker that I recently discovered that I just really love. Her name is K.C. Davis, initials K.C. And her most frequently quoted saying is, "Cleaning and organizing are morally neutral." She says, you know, you're not a bad wife, a bad mother, a bad person. If you struggle with these things, just be gentle and kind with yourself. And so if you're not able to keep those rules, give yourself grace.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's so hard. I mean, I know that I'm the hardest on myself.
Oh yeah.
When it comes to, I can forgive anybody, right? I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Oh yeah. You know, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But boy, if I don't do it, man, I'm like, Leanna, you are, why didn't you? You should have, right?
should. Yes.
Yeah. Right. And listeners, don't worry. I've gone through plenty of therapy to help me with this, but but it's still a hard thing for me to do. I think it's hard for all of us, but luckily we're not dealing with our ability to be gracious. We've got God in us to help us be gracious, not only to others, but to ourselves as well. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about another situation when you might have to break that everything needs a home rule, right? Let's think about if you have to share a particular space, maybe it's your living room, your office, you know, your bathroom. You need to take into account to their preferences and organizing styles, like we talked about in episode 3 of this season, right? For example, the rule says you should only have one home for an item, not multiple homes, because then it can be tricky because people are going, well, I put it over in that home. And you're like, yeah, but I told you it's this home that you need to put it in. And then you start confusion, you start problems, on and on and on, right? But maybe in your home, it makes more sense to have something in multiple places. Okay. We can break the rule on that. It's okay. Batteries, it might have a perfect location in the utility drawer in your kitchen. That's where ours is for sure. Mm-hmm. Right. But my office is upstairs. And if I need some batteries, then guess what? I'm going to go all the way downstairs. Not that I am adverse to exercise. For the most part, but, you know, I don't want to be going up and down the stairs each time I need batteries. So it might make some sense to leave some batteries in my office, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's the end of the world? Because, oh, all of a sudden I've got multiple places where I keep batteries, right? It's not that bad. You just have to think, you know, keeping a few items in one spot, but where is the main place for everybody to find those batteries, right?
Right.
And, you know, and they, another person might want to keep some in their space. Like my husband probably enjoys having some out in the garage. That's okay. We, you know, so that means there are three places in our home where batteries can be found, but everybody knows for the most part that the utility drawer in the kitchen is where we keep all batteries.
Yeah.
So we're breaking the rules. Okay. But it's okay. It's okay.
Right. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to another organizing rule. Another essential organizing principle is to put like with like. This is where we talk about sorting into categories, and organizers love to do this. One of my favorite things to do. It's very calming. Give me a bunch of stuff in just in disarray and let me put them in the categories and I will be so happy. So
yeah.
So when we're deciding where to store things, it's really helpful to put categories that belong together together. And then so you can use that principle to decide, okay, well, what makes sense for this? Where should this belong? Okay, so here's an example. If you're kind of the kind of person who does your own nails, polish and such, then you're trying to figure out, okay, well, where does this belong? Well, that's a toiletry kind of thing. So probably makes most sense for it to be maybe in the bathroom or the utility room or something like that. So that would be a good option. But then there's another organizing rule, probably unwritten, that you can consider as well. And that is store items close to where they're being used. Mm-hmm. So you say, okay, well, if I follow that rule, and I usually do my nails when I'm watching TV, and the TV's in the living room, so maybe it makes more sense for me to store them there. And honestly, there's no wrong answer. It's your stuff, it's your house, and you kind of just do what works for you and follow whichever rule makes the most sense.
Yeah. I love the saying, and I say this all the time, you do you, boo, you know?
And I've not heard the boo on the end. That's more fun.
Yeah, you do you, boo. And it's true because, I mean, I'm guilty of this too because, you know, most of the time I go and I have my nails done, right? I like to be pampered that way. I think it's a nice little pleasure. But now that I have cancer, I can't go and get manicure. So I have to do them myself. Mm-hmm. Well, just like Angie said, I store them in my bathroom because that's the logical place for my toiletries. However, I'm going to need to sit down to do my things. And I don't have a chair in my bathroom.
No. And so, the toilet's just not really good.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's uncomfortable. So I would obviously move into the living room and I would probably paint my nails while my husband is watching TV or playing a game or something. And I would just sit down there and do them. So it would make sense to leave them in that space, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just have to look at things and just say, you know, yeah, this makes sense, but this makes more sense.
Yeah.
And just think about it from that respect. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So let's go on to another organizing rule. And let's talk about that one a little bit about situations, how breaking the rules is okay. And this organizing rule is make a plan and stick to it. You know, we all know the saying, if you fail to plan to fail. And things, you know, we're not dictators or rigid here, but we have seen time and time again that things always turn out better if we plan ahead, right? Yeah. It just does. It's been driving my husband crazy because I'm like, I need to just get all this organized and planned out because then I can relax and know that on my off days, everything's taken care of. So it's just, right, we set that intention, we get list the steps, we get the necessary supplies, we put them on our calendar, and we're more likely to get them completed, right? That's the ideal situation.
Right.
But we've talked about on this podcast before that ideal situations don't exist in this world, right? As much as we love it. No, we'd love to have a perfect planet, but we don't. And the reality is many times we don't follow this rule, right? We don't make a plan. And the tasks don't get, and we feel overwhelmed and defeated. So we end up not doing anything. We go into paralysis, right? But, you know, it's okay because there's going to be lots of opportunities for, you know, different plans in the making. So what we need to do when those things happen is to fall back on that biblical principle that's far more important than any of the other organizing rules, and that's to give yourself grace. Right. We're going to keep talking about this over and over again. It's just be gracious with yourself. You've got a full life, right? I mean, I'm sure that everybody listening here could say they've got plenty that they're juggling. They've got lots of plates up in the air and they're doing the best they can. And the great thing is that God's love for you is unconditional, right? He doesn't love you anymore if your house is a hot mess, Okay. And we're not saying we're encouraging that, but you know, we know that God also knows that your life with order can be much more peaceful, much more calm. And we are made in his image. And if he's a God of order, then we have the ability to be organized as well. And that illustrates to the world who God is. Yeah. And so we want to keep that in mind. But the only way you can do that is if you give yourself grace.
Yes. So, yeah. So if there's a task that you didn't get to because you failed to plan, and so it didn't happen, well, try plan B. Or, you know, maybe it's time to accept a friend's offer to help. Maybe someone's been offering and you think, oh, well, I should be able to do that. Or maybe you accept their help, or maybe you lower your standards a little bit. You know, it could be this is a season of life where that's just not doable. Maybe at this point, whatever that task is, it could be that you decide, you know what, I'd really like that to get done, but what I need right now is rest. Maybe this can just wait a little while. You know, cleaning and organizing, it's morally neutral. So we do our best to imitate God and be a God of order, you know, a person of order and plan and follow the plan. But sometimes that just doesn't happen, and we need to give ourselves grace.
Yeah. And we need to remember that after plan A and plan B, there's still 24 more letters in the alphabet.
There you go.
So just remember, there's still a lot of letters left in the alphabet. All right. Well, listeners, this has been such a good discussion. I've really enjoyed it because I think it's so important that we talk about organizing, but we, more than anything, we want to, you know, remember God's love. It's his number one quality, and it's and it shines so brightly from his word. And you know, you may go, oh, I messed up again. I didn't do what Angie and Leanna said to do on that episode, or I didn't do what they wrote about on their blog, or, you know, whatever it could be, right? Just remember God loves you unconditionally, and his he's gracious. And Romans 8 tells us, therefore, there is now no condemnation. That means there is no pointing fingers. There is no making you feel bad for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then in Zephaniah, it says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. So try to remember, grace and love are God's greatest attributes, and they can apply to any and every situation you may face when you're trying to get organized.
I love that. Yes, I love the emphasis on God being a God of love above everything else. So before we close, let's just do a quick review of what we talked about. So we started in the world of baseball, and just like in sports and in a lot of other professions, organizing has rules, and usually it's in our best interest to follow them, but sometimes it's necessary to break the rules. Sometimes we've got to take others' preferences into account. We have extenuating circumstances, or we're just in a season of life where we're not able to follow them. We have to do what works regardless of whether or not it follows the rules. And although God is a God of order, above all that, he is a God of love. And so when we're not able to do what's best in a situation, when we can't follow the rules, or we've slacked off for whatever reason, we need to give ourselves grace just as God gives us grace. You know, his love for us doesn't depend on our performance. He loves us simply because we're his children. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's true. That's true. And so that wraps up this episode of the Uncluttered Podcast. We are so thankful for you, our friend, for listening. We'd love you to show some love for the podcast and for someone else by sharing this episode. You know, don't forget to hit that subscribe button or sign up on our newsletter so you do not miss when a new episode drops. And if you'd like a free resource to help you with your decluttering and organizing, check our website at unclutter.faith for those free decluttering signs that we love to give you to help you with the process a little bit more. But if you don't want to use them, that's okay. There's not any rule that says you must use these decluttering signs. They just make it a little bit simpler, right?
Yeah. And they're kind of cute too.
And they are kind of cute for sure. And all these things are free. That's the best part. Leaving a review, telling a friend, you know, liking us on social media. That is free on your part. And it means so very much to us. So thank you when you do that.
Yes. One more quick reminder. We are looking for a listener who has had some success in using the biblical principles we talk about in this podcast. We'd love to feature you on a future episode. So if you're interested in that, send us an email, contact@uncluttered.faith, and we'd love to talk about featuring you on an upcoming episode. So, yeah, until next episode, remember, an uncluttered life is an abundant life.